from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
But it's almost like I can't decide if it's all media days that we're just kind of over with or if it was just the SEC. Like I saw Big Ten, they're doing it at Lucas Oil. My boys from the Cover 3 were there on set, but I was just like, man, just tell me like who wins the preseason poll and tell me what the first, second, and third teams are.
And I don't even think they had a preseason poll. They had like an unofficial one via Cleveland.com.
Yes. Now, I didn't know, did that mean that they were going to vote later?
No, I think Brett McMurphy said they just don't do it, which was weird. Yeah, we heard from... We heard from Ryan Day today. He was not yelling at Lou Holtz, so that was a good thing. Yeah, look, all the pressure in the world's on him, man. I'll just say, like, they have to win. If they don't win the national title, they better lose in the title game, and they better beat Michigan.
And they better lose in the title game in, like, a game where you don't fault him.
And look, like, 2 years ago, they were, you know, a field goal away from, let's be honest, winning the national title. And beating TCU, but they missed the field goal. Georgia goes on to win by 9 million in the championship game, which is still one of my favorite bets of all time. I don't know what I want to do. And we had, I mentioned his name already, Brad Powers. He's a college football handicapper, and he was on our show last night. He's like, look, if you want to make a couple bucks, he's like, just take a future on Ohio State and a future on Oregon to win the Big Ten. He's like, no one else is winning that conference. And I tend to agree. It's like plus 215, minus plus 155. So you put down a unit on both, you're insured a little value, a little bounty coming your way.
I am a little interested to see how travel affects all of this.
That's true. Yeah. I think that's fair. I mean, it's, you know, all these teams travel pretty luxuriously nowadays, but I think there's going to be some, I mean, I think, who was it? Is it Cal? I think Cal in the ACC has the travel just an astronomical amount of miles this year throughout their conference schedule. So, yeah, I think that's certainly something to keep an eye on. I just think my gut tells me Oregon and Ohio State are going to split this year. Like, one of them's going to win the regular season showdown October 12th, and then more than likely they'll rematch, and the other team will win the championship. The interesting thing to discuss is, like, could, based off of tiebreakers, and that I haven't jumped into tiebreakers yet, could a team based off of tiebreakers get into that Big Ten championship game, and we see a bloodbath like we've seen in recent years, right?
The
Big
Ten
East would just... The Big Ten East would just destroy. Well, it was Iowa, it was Purdue. Northwestern was the only one who would like sneak in and like kind of be competitive.
Well, remember Purdue in that Michigan game? They kept it close for like three quarters, and then they just got barraged in the fourth. It was kind of like the Michigan Washington game.
Michigan, yeah, 43-22. I'm looking at it right now as the final, but it was a 1-point game at half. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I just remember talking myself into Purdue that week. All right, buddy, I appreciate it.
All right, man. I'll see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN, the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, available each and every week. Let's come back. Let's get into the list. The Tigers have been named the preseason favorite in the AAC. We'll talk that. Got some NFL news and more. We'll do all that
during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's get in the list.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Memphis Tiger football.
You just made the list!
Yeah, for the first time in Tiger football history, the University of Memphis is the preseason media favorite to win the league. Memphis received 23 of 30 first-place votes, a total of 409 total points in the poll. UTSA, the number two team in the league, they received four first-place votes. Tulane got two first-place votes. South Florida finishes fourth in the poll but did not receive a first-place vote. Army, with a big drop at five, did get one first-place vote. Florida Atlantic at six. East Carolina Rice tied at seven. North Texas at nine. UAB at 10. 11 Navy, 12 Tulsa, 13 Charlotte, 14 was Temple. So again, it's the first time in program history not only to be the AAC favorite, they have been favored to win the division previously, but they've never been favored to win the conference outright. Also looked back, there were some preseason mags in 04 in which a few of them picked, but they've never been outright picked to win the division. But Herd, this is where I want to start with you. Because this is kind of the big question that I have is there is a lot of momentum for this team, but I'm very curious to know, like, how locked in are your buddies right now?
For Tiger football?
Yeah.
I would say really locked in. Actually, the last few years, I think the city has been really behind Tiger football. Even when we didn't have a chance or not, The games have been packed, a lot of them. I don't know if certain ones have been packed. And I think, you know, we have done enough that our coaches have all got promotions.
Yep.
We have new deals, players. Yep. You know, Antoine Hill's coming. That's very exciting. So I think with us finally having the chance to win something, I think they're going to go crazy over it.
I think the thing that's most interesting about it is there's a couple things. Number one, this feels like not only is this going to be a year where both Tiger football and Tiger basketball are getting predicted to win the league. Seeing as it's never happened for football, I have to assume it's the first that's ever going to happen. So I feel like both Penny and Ryan are in these unusual situations in which you're expected to win the league, and the one thing that you kind of have to avoid is the thing that's kind of stubbed each of their toes during their coaching tenures, which is kind of not bad conference play, but it hasn't been like knock it out of the park conference play. And to me, like, that's kind of where both of them are, because the other thing that's interesting about it, while Memphis is the preseason favorite, the preseason 2, 3, and 4 teams are all on Memphis' schedule, and they're all on the road. And that's kind of like the one thing that I've wondered, and I don't really fault anyone because at the time it was what it was. I do wonder with this home schedule, the school had requested from the league, hey, since the stadium's going to be under construction, can you give us a little bit more of a lackluster home schedule and to try and get the bigger home schedule next year? But I find it unlikely that the new stadium is going to be ready to go next year. And so I almost wonder, it's like, should they have just not done that? Because there's no way really of predicting one way or the other, but it does suck, I feel like, when your three toughest conference games are all going to be on the road.
Oh, yeah, that definitely could be a problem. But, yeah, I probably wouldn't have said nothing. At the end of the day, it's about winning. And so, however, you know, no disrespect to the fans, which they love us, whatever problems we're having on whatever side of the state, because I was hearing some of, like, certain sides. Maybe I was listening in on you or somebody
else.
The
west side's basically going to be, like, blown up. Like, I don't know if it's going to be hollow, whatnot, but the west side, there's going to be, like, no seating, basically up, like, above row, like, 20.
And then they're going to rotate this, right? That's how they're doing it.
Correct.
Like, okay, get through the west side, do the north side. I still, at the end of the day, I think it's about the players and winning and losing, and I just feel like we want the best chance this to win. You know, of course we want a nice stadium, but I think I would rather us have some messed up home games and they actually win the conference than, you know, the game seeding is better and then we lose the conference due to our scheduling. So, no, I'm about us winning it because it's an exciting year, and I feel like that would just give us so much more momentum. And I've been keeping up, Jeffrey, but how they're doing the stadium, I haven't been, because at one point this has been talked about, it feel, for me, for at least a decade plus about.
At least. I mean, never forget when we were in high school, the push to get the on-campus stadium.
Yes.
That fell through. I think Willie Harrington wanted a new stadium sometime like in like 07, if I recall. He wanted a new stadium. The thing that's interesting about this whole thing with the stadium is, there's been some people that are like, well, you know, they're nostalgic about it getting torn down like this. The thing that's actually more insane to me is basically since the stadium has been built in the 60s. So originally when there was the push to get the NFL team, they redid the stadium kind of in 87 in which they leveled it out because originally it looked like uneven.
Mm-hmm.
They leveled it out, added seats, and they put the suites on the other side. And so, like, that was all we did. Since then, doing it from memory, the fan additions, the playing surface went from grass to turf. I think there's been another set of turf, had a couple of different video boards. There has been a new speaker system. And then they found some room up top to, like, put, like, portable tents, and they called it a party deck. But that's about it in terms of, like, fan experience of what has actually been done to the stadium. Like, they've done a new locker room, whatnot, but, like, in terms for the fans, basically the thing's been untouched. Like, and so, this is going to take a little bit, but it's, like, the unusual thing is almost everybody touches up their stadium, but now we're just getting around to it.
Oh, for sure. Did you say 87?
1987, I believe, is when it was the NFL push.
Yeah, that's 37 years ago.
And we also did the move where Jacksonville and Charlotte said they were going to build brand new stadiums. We're like, no, nah, we got you. We're going to do this. And can't believe we didn't win that bid.
So we didn't even do nothing in the 90s when we could have kept.
Not really.
What about the year the Titans came? We didn't try to do nothing then?
Not really. We did one year to get the CFL, the Mad Dogs. We put some turf in the end zone because the end zones in CFL are bigger when they try to do Canadian football. That's about it, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, no.
So this is like long overdue.
Totally overdue. And I know it has always been a talk that it was just too expensive, right, to build a stadium. I have heard that, right.
To do A, to find a spot was going to be difficult. And even when you found a spot, they basically logistically were going to have to build infrastructure. So roads, whatnot, like entrance, access, parking, whatnot. In terms of doing this versus building their own new stadium, like it was probably half the price. So it just really wasn't feasible.
Where would we put some on campus here?
So they always had the talk of when you're driving down Central and you get to the like east side of campus.
Okay.
Those like spots. I don't know if there's like a track back there or whatnot. Like that was a spot. Then there were people that wanted to take some land from Audubon, but it's like, well, that's city land. Like that really, I don't know if South Campus has enough room, whatnot. It feels like they're kind of tapped out.
Because it's kind of tight where Memphis is at, right between
yes,
Highland and Central.
It's
and
what happens
Park.
When you build like a university right in the middle of a city. Like, you're kind of confined. Like there isn't a ton of land.
In the small city anyway.
Because everyone's like, well, look what UCF did. It's like, y'all, go look at how much land UCF has.
I was just saying a small, yeah, because Orlando is a big. I think where you could compare it to, though, and they're a smaller school than us that people got mad at. UAB was a big deal a few years ago, right, when they did.
Right, but that's the other thing. It's like UAB doesn't own their stadium. UAB, like, leases their stadium. But same thing. Like, they built it downtown.
Downtown.
What, now their campus is downtown at Jace. Like, it's right. Yeah. But, I mean, that wasn't funded by the school. I mean, now, granted, a lot of this isn't being funded by the school. A lot of this is being funded by the state. But at the same time, it's like, it really just, to me, it kind of speaks to the fact that for so long, we did nothing to the stadium. It's like, now we're having to do, like, everything.
And I kind of hate that for the city because I feel like us having a stadium, I know we've been thinking about NFL or college, but I think that stadium, if they would have done the right thing back in 87, it means so much more to the city as a whole because one reason, I know it's numerous reasons, why we haven't even gotten the big conference yet is because they were saying the, you know, it's mostly about football and the lack of the stadium didn't fit the requirements. And, you know, I told you off air yesterday, they said Memphis, Louisville, and Cincinnati was all in the same boat in the 80s and 90s, but before it became a big deal, Louisville and Cincinnati invested in stadiums and in football and things like that, you know, with their academic institutions and things, and that helped them get the nod over Memphis because we were same similar school. I mean, Memphis actually was a more profound city than some of these other places, the Nashvilles, the Louisvilles, the Cincinnatis, but I wonder why our leadership didn't think back then that we should have kind of, you know, did this same thing. And maybe they couldn't, you know, maybe to their defense, they couldn't think that football would have that major of a part of expanding, but it definitely has hurt us.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, chicken or the egg questions where, yes, there was not the foresight to recognize football was going to drive expansion, whereas Louisville and Cincinnati did recognize that. I think the other problem, like, it really also comes down to, it's like, all right, Louisville basically went to one guy, Papa John's, and he, like, funded a stadium. Cincinnati's a private school. Like, they funded, like, all of those renovations, whatnot. Whereas with Memphis, it's like, it's one thing to say, like, well, we should do this, we should do that. Then the inevitable question is, okay, who's going to pay for it? And that was usually where it stopped. Now, and then also you kind of wind up in the, okay, maybe where they could have gotten caught up, like in the first part of the 2000s, well, then you're John Calipari's in town and John's not really big on spending money, not on basketball. And so then you wind up in this, you're playing catch up, and like they're now, the question is like, okay, they're getting caught up. Is it going to be too little too late? And I don't know the answer to that. Like, I actually am not, you can, like, because going back to the conversation I was having with Tim about the ACC, if there is enough of the ACC that can still wind up being a viable product, like, that's going to still be a better league than what they're in. Even if you're in, you know, a league that includes, you know, Boston College, Pitt, Syracuse, Louisville, SMU, probably Wake Forest, Duke's a weird one because I don't know if Duke's going to necessarily have a home, Virginia Tech, like, that's still a better league than what you're in. Now, is that going to, like, what we've been seeing in conference expansion is schools that can go somewhere, go somewhere, and then a conference gets tossed away. Like what we saw, the Pac-12, gone. Like, once upon a time, Southwest Conference, gone. Big East, gone. Now we're seeing the Pac-12's gone. Is the ACC next up, or is there still a spot where they can kind of still be this, like, upper middle class of college sports?
Yeah, I think unless you're trying to have 20 and 30 teams in a conference, I think the ACC still will hold some weight. I think that Memphis should definitely be a candidate, but we got to put ourselves in position to be a candidate. I don't think it's never too late to build a stadium. I think it's two things in Memphis that it's never too late to do. And that's one, our power lines with MLG and W.
Yes.
And two, that's the stadium.
Yeah.
We keep saying, is it too late for no, if we would have did it 30 years ago, like we would have did the stadium
awesome.
30 years ago, because something's going to always come up. It's with anything. I mean, you were talking about houses yesterday. The better you build something, I mean, the University of Memphis is going to always be around. No matter what stadium it is, you give yourself leverage, you give yourself opportunity to do something great. But if you don't have something to, some shiny to toss in these other universities and commissioners' faces, then they don't feel like we have the same leverage or standards or greatness to come into like some of the other programs that I think we're just as good as.
Well, I mean, to your point, it's a beauty contest. Like, in the end, like, this isn't like some, oh, well, this team won this many games, they're getting promoted. It's like, no, it's a beauty contest. So you got to hit the treadmill. You know what I mean?
Money and booty. That's
yeah.
it.
that's what you got to get. All right, WNBA All-Star Game.
You just made the list!
Heard this is quite the number. Saturday's WNBA All-Star Game averaged 3.44 million viewers on ABC, making the league's largest audience since the second day of play in June 1997, when the Sting and Mercury averaged 3.59 million on NBC. Only that game and the inaugural Liberty Sparks matchup a day earlier delivered larger audiences. The previous record for a WNBA All-Star game was 1.44 million, so 2 million more. On 2003, it was the first on-air broadcast for ABC and the WNBA. Only one other All-Star game has averaged seven-figure audience. It was 2005, 1.25 million. Okay, so I want to know where you're at, because this is kind of how I'm summing up what's going on right now in the WNBA. This, to me, is no different than when Tiger got to the PGA Tour. And there was a lot of people sniping. They didn't like Tiger's already got this Nike deal. They're seeing all the money. He hadn't won anything. Tim Fincham, at the time, he was at a PGA Tour, brought all the players in the room, and he said this: all y'all, shut the hell up. This guy is the moneymaker. And we're all going to stop this, and we're going to get new TV deals. We're going to break the bank. And we're all going to be richer for it. Everybody's going to make more money because of this. To me, it's the same thing with Caitlin Clark. And I feel like the sniping has stopped. But it's just, to me, like, what blows me away is I understand the frustration from other great players being like, well, what's she done? Like, I get that. At the same time, this is such an unbelievable, like, remarkable gravy train. And I feel like they're just wasting it.
Oh, you're right. It's the Clark, Angel Reese, these rookie girls, just Grindr coming back. It's unbelievable. And then even their TV deal, I don't know if you saw this.
I think it's $200 million.
No, I think it went up from $200 million to $1
billion. It's $200 million a year.
Yeah, $200 million a year, which is, they say the the league minimum right now is going to go up from like $59,000 to $200,000. So that means you might see one of them women making like $1 million here or close to it if league minimum is going up to $200,000. I know when Clark in about 5 years. So I love it for the women. I just feel like this is where I get a little confused. You're a big numbers guy, Jeffrey. You do a great job when I see you pregame and on here. And this is when people, I think people spend money how they want to. Because, you know, you would take a rich guy, oh, I'm budgeting this month. But then you see him go buy three Ferraris. Mm-hmm. Well, the last time I looked up the women viewership outside of the All-Star game, the numbers were still low. Granted, I'm talking about low compared to, like, how people say, oh, it's going to be a big splash. No, somebody pulled it up. They still was losing money last year, beginning of this year.
Oh, no, I think the league has lost, like, hundreds of millions
of
dollars.
And I'm talking about still to this day, like Wilder would say. So I take that to say, but then they just got a – so it shocked me when they're – I don't know if it was pressure from the men's side. We can't have $78 billion and have a $200 million. When I seen the $1 billion that the TVs came with it, with viewership still being down – I said, well, maybe it's just something that they really want to push, and maybe they see that we're getting on board, because it just didn't make a lot of sense to me that you would give a TV package, you know, outside of that All-Star game with the viewership still being low. But I think it's definitely getting more popular, and great job to those ladies.
Clark games are popping at an unbelievable... Like, Clark games are similar to NBA regular season, like... Maybe, like, if LeBron and Steph play on a Saturday night, that number is going to be bigger. But, I mean, basically every game she plays is over 1.5 million viewers, which is similar to an NBA game. So now what TV people are seeing is, okay, well, this audience is here, and we'll pay for that.
Okay.
But before, it hadn't been sustainable. And if Caitlin Clark and the rest of the league sustain this, well, $200 million for... the type of numbers that they're getting, that becomes a steal.
Okay.
The question will be, can they maintain this?
Can they? So even for one team to be doing it, they still...
Because you just feature the one team. we'll call it brilliant television. Speaking of getting paid, Jordan Love.
You just made the list!
All right, so Jordan Love's still technically... I think the new term for it is holding in her. So if you... don't want to get fined for not showing up to training camp, you go to training camp and then you don't participate. But they can't fine you because you're physically there. Well, that may be soon coming to an end. This is from The Athletic. Love is present at the Packers training camp, which is your first sign that things are actually amicable between the two sides. Green Bay general manager Brian Gutekunst echoed the sentiment yesterday, saying he feels a resolution is close and he understands Love's strategy. The deal should be huge. Most experts believe Love's contract will reset the market and become the richest deal in NFL history. Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence just signed for $55 million per year. Expect Love's to be slightly more than that, around 5 years, $280 million. The big question is whether his guaranteed money tops the numbers of Lawrence, which was $142 million guaranteed, or Joe Burrow at $146 million guaranteed. I do not expect him to beat Cleveland's nonsensical $230 million guaranteed deal for Deshaun Watson, but you never know. So, on the one hand, there's kind of this element of, I don't really freak out about whoever the next quarterback to sign is, because I just feel like that's just whoever the quarterback is, like, that guy's going to get the next biggest deal. I am very curious to see if anyone at some point, because... the question is, like, well, what leverage do the Packers have? Like, with Aaron Rodgers, they had Jordan Love behind him. With Brett Favre, they had Rodgers behind him. They don't really have anyone behind him. But, like, I am curious if there's ever going to be a team. Like, I think it's going to be so fascinating when your Niners have to pay Brock. Because that's when I feel like we'll get the real sense of what the Niners believe.
Yeah. for sure. I mean,
good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I love Brock. But with Jordan Love, like, I'm with you. I know the next person got to get the most. Even though I think they kind of slightly disrespected Lamar a couple years ago. Outside of him, everybody else has just been easily getting their money.
You got to remember, though, with Lamar, the one issue. Lamar didn't have an agent.
Oh, he didn't have an agent.
Yep.
But he had productive stats, though.
No, no, he did.
So for me, and then the year after he signed, he wins MVP. So I know that's a different issue, but outside of him, everybody else that has been coming up has been setting the market. I don't know, Green Bay don't have a backup, and the ball is not in their court at all. There's no way I will make Jordan Love, which I think is going to be a great quarterback. I'm not sure he's even a top 10 quarterback right now. And I just don't think you should set the market, no matter if you're the only one up, without a top 10. Like the two guys you just previously named, he's not better than either one of those. He's not better than Lawrence or Burrow. Matter of fact, nobody should be getting more money than Burrow, not even Lawrence, okay? But I get the market.
Well, Mahomes.
You know, yeah. Hold on. Yeah, Mahomes is it? I mean, like the new guys that's coming.
Yeah.
No new guy coming up should be getting more than Burrow. So I get it, and Love's got him by the, you know, he got him by.
You can say it. Basically, you can't say S, you can't say F. You can say damn, but you can't say GD. And then you can say ass, but not a hole.
Oh, okay.
That's basically the only rules.
Only thing. So just leave a couple cuss words off,
yeah,
and everything else get in the part.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, he got him by the balls or whatever, but I just can't, because I feel like Jordan Love is, I don't know how you take this, me being a big football guy, I still don't think he's overprovenly yet.
So he's got 18 starts.
Mm-hmm.
His first 10 to 12, I was like, man, that feels like a mistake. The second half of last year, he really came on strong.
He did.
He absolutely lit up the Cowboys. But there are two throws in that Niners game that I just cannot forget. Those last two picks are one of the last pick was maybe one of the worst throws I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was just, but I mean, I think this is the problem that you see in the NFL. It's so hard to get a quarterback that you have to just pray to God. Like you've got to pray to God that your guy is a guy and hope it works. And then if it doesn't, I think you try to do like what the Rams did, where when they didn't believe in Goff, although my boy's looking pretty good now. Like, you just figure out a way. Like, you give him the contract. If it doesn't work, you figure out a way to ship him off.
Yeah, he is. He's looking good. And, you know, I don't mean to sound arrogant on this, but people do strange things against the 49ers. We're pretty good, you know, in all elements. I feel like we should have, if it wasn't for that, you know, that guy in Kansas City, we should have two Super Bowls in the last few years. But I'm with you on that. To me, he still don't have a big enough body of work. Them last six games were awesome. I'm not going to lie, because they went from not being a playoff to making even Green Bay fans had checked out. So I'm with that. But him coming into this year, I don't care if he's the latest guy up, knowing that he's making more than, I believe, 10 to 15 quarterbacks better than him. I think he's going to be a great player, but he haven't done enough yet. And does he still have a year or something on his contract?
So they're all, it's all when you're a first rounder, you're due your extension after your fourth year. You can play your fifth year on the option. So the thing that was interesting about this, he like restructured his deal last year as his first year starter and kind of bet on himself. And that set it up to, like, I think he would have been due his extension last year, but because he didn't play. The thing that makes this one so unique is I cannot think of another guy under this structure, the salary cap structure, that is do his extension played so little. Like Tua, we've seen a lot more. Like that's the same thing.
It was
like,
more, yeah,
like with Tua, but now like it's this move of, okay, because you weren't able to move off of Rodgers until you did. Well, now he's due his extension and you've only seen him play 18 games.
Yeah. I think if it is going to be the season high, I'm not with that 5 years yet. I mean, if it's going to be lead history high, he just, for me, my liking, he just don't have enough body of work. And you can't say if he become great, you're like, oh, we glad we got him on this part. Because you still didn't get a bargain. I feel like they're taking the most risk. You know, with most quarterbacks, like when the Ravens gave Deshaun his stuff. I mean, not Deshaun, my bad. That's a bad.
Yes, that's the worst.
That's the bad contract. That's the one that's nobody else
correct
going for. Lamar. I knew all along, Lamar, outside of his health here and there, Lamar was a bad boy. I don't know why, like you said, it might have been because of the age. And I knew, even Deshaun had, even though he went through what he went through, Deshaun had showed great flat. Now, I don't know what's going on with Deshaun I'm seeing today, mentally or whatever. But
I'm a little woke on Deshaun. I think Deshaun put up big numbers on bad teams.
Oh, yes, I, okay.
I've always been a Deshaun skeptic. Lamar, never.
Yeah,
unless it's a playoff game, then I get worried. I get very worried. I will figure out a way to talk myself into it that this time it'll be different, even though it's been the same each and every time.
For sure, for sure. So no, Jordan Love, congrats to him. But if I owned the Packers, I would not be excited about making him the highest paid player ever.
He does have. If you put in a Jordan Love highlight tape, you will leave yourself going like, "My God, that guy's amazing." It's throughout the course of the game. The same thing, though, like, I would have said the same. I used to get so annoyed when people were trying to tell me Carson Wentz was good. And it's like, if you watched he made these mass, if you just watched Red Zone, you thought Carson Wentz was awesome. Because about every 5 minutes, Scott Hansen breaks in, and you see Wentz breaking out of, like, four tackles and chunking it as far as he can. It's a 75-yard touchdown. But it's like, when you watched him throughout the course of the game, you're like, man, this guy's, like,
okay,
shaky.
Yeah.
And Love is kind of the same thing, but God, man, all I say is good for him. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a few other headlines. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Is this big news, yes or no, in the fight game? I do know the name. Canelo Alvarez is in the process of finalizing a deal for a super middleweight championship defense against Edgar Berlanga. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Berlanga. September 14th at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. So I know when Alvarez fights, it's a big deal, but is this a fight that gets you to say, like, no matter what, I'm watching it?
I would say it's almost a big deal, but I think at this point, whenever guys like him, Spencer Fury, those fight Terrence, I just think at this point, it's not that many big-time fighters now, so when the main free fight and then they fight in Vegas, everybody says they're not going to watch it. When it gets close to time, there's nothing else to do. You're probably going to watch the fight. So
here's the other heads up that night. They will be going up head to head with UFC 306. That was the UFC fight that's going to be held at the Sphere that they're going to do in Vegas. So they're going head to head. This feels like not the best scheduling to me.
Is there some beef right now between Dana White and some of the boxing promoters? What's going on? I would say this, the viewership might be a little off, but Vegas can handle multiple events. So city's going to be lit. What date did you say again?
September the 14th. But my thing is, like, aren't most of the boxers getting a lot of the money from the pay-per-view?
They are.
So, like, if I'm those guys, like, I'm not wanting this fight that night.
Maybe the next day, everybody already in town, but not that day.
Yeah, make it a weekend. Like,
love to be in Vegas that week, even though the rooms are going to be extremely high with two events.
Vegas big fight weekends, there's absolutely nothing like it. All right, the other piece of news, and this is, to me, like, this is news in the sense of, like, somebody got it reported. But this is where we've known this is always headed. The NFL Players Association and the NFL have had discussions at, quote, a very high level over potentially adding an 18th regular season game to the schedule, NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell told the Washington Post. Howell told the Post that the talks between the NFLPA and the league have not reached the stage of formal negotiations, but he acknowledged the plans to discuss the issue with the players in the near future. Okay, here's kind of where I am. 17 games in my dumb brain doesn't work, because it used to be perfect. In a 16-game schedule, if you're an 8-8 team, you are perfectly mediocre. But now I don't know if you're 9-8, are you mediocre? Are you mediocre if you're 8-9? I don't know what to do. So at least we're getting it back to 18 games. I think the key on this one's going to be, it's going to be 18 games. I presume the preseason will probably be cut to 2. We've already seen it cut from 4 to 3. Cut preseason to 2. I hope. Put another bye week in. Give teams 2 byes if they're going to play 18 games. And then we now can have the dream scenario of Super Bowl Sunday will be before President's Day Monday. And so we won't have to deal with the whole, like, why is the day after the Super Bowl not a holiday? Because everybody's hungover. So I think that would get the schedule to where it'd extend to where we would actually have, I wouldn't, but y'all would have the Monday after the Super Bowl off.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. The only thing I'm always a little concerned with in football, unfortunately, is because of the damage to their body so much that a game or two more might not seem like it hurts, but it's already a lot of injuries. But because they don't have guaranteed deals and stuff, I think they have to agree to it because they continue to make the massive money they deserve. The only thing you will probably be getting into pushing it back a week is, I know this year, I think it was the Super Bowl, and the following week was All-Star Weekend NBA. I think that it was back-to-back this year.
That sounds right, because I think it was a later Super Bowl.
Yeah, because you had, like, the February date because of the way the calendar was. It was a later Super Bowl because of the 17th. Then the next weekend was the NBA All-Star, which is a big thing. So they have to.
Let me tell you what Goodell doesn't care about, the NBA All-Star game. He took Christmas Day from the NBA.
Yeah, that's true.
We're getting NFL football on Christmas Day, so like, he will not care about that at all.
Yeah, he sounds like Dana White
now. Yes, exactly.
But this is why the NFL have to agree with it, because the NFL is still one of the free professional sports in America that the owners and the commissioners kind of run everything. You know, the NBA and some of like the players have a major say-so because they're more the commodity. And that's why if they go to 22 games, it's nothing they can say whether they have a broke arm. And even with college right now, the reason they don't sound crazy bad, I think they say to win the whole thing next year, you might have to play 17 games or something.
Potentially, you could, yes.
Yeah, with the new 12.
You play 12, a championship game. Let's say you lose the championship game. You'd play the first round, the quarters. So you could play 17 games.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I was hearing Nick Saban talk about the other day how tough that is. He did 15 one year or whatever to win it all.
No, give them more money, put an extra bye week in. I mean, it's headed there anyway. But if not, we're getting load management in football at some point.
Yeah.
We're going to get that. All right, we come back. We tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, I kind of liked this story for Tell Your Story. So, former ETSU punter Kyle Ubrick, he's hoping to get a tryout with the Dolphins. So for his Tell Your Story, he is sitting outside of the Dolphins team facility saying, he put on Twitter, "It's always a dream until it becomes a reality. I just want to get a chance to prove myself." He is holding signs telling Jason Sanders that he'll hold his balls better. The idea being punters are also the holders for field goals. So he's got a bunch of signs telling Jason Sanders that he could hold his balls better than the previous punter for the Dolphins. So I like that. Don't tell the story. Tell your story. I want to thank Tim Murray for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Herd, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.